welcome to Only Believe this Easter morning. Yeah. What a beautiful day to be alive. Amen. You know, I was thinking probably one of the greatest honors. I've never had an Easter service before to preach. I'll be honest with you, that like I'm the last on the list that ever got one. Amazing what happens when the person ahead of you steps out and all of a sudden you become first in everything. I'm like, whoo, hold up, maybe we could do this a little slower. But I got reflecting this weekend and I thought, holy smokes, the Lord has entrusted me with such a vital message today. The entire Christian faith hinges on today. And I get to preach it to you. I'm honored. I just want you to know. So if you're at Only Believe today, I would like these to be passed out. These, did you guys receive these yet? Okay, perfect. The ushers, if you would grab these, I'm going to take this time right now to just make a little announcement. I would love, before you leave the service today, we are doing something special in July. And we are doing a series called You Asked For It. And we're going to take 4 Sundays and hit topics that you want to know more about that are in the Bible. Now, don't give me no, like, stock market question. That's not in the Bible. This needs to be biblical or we're not preaching it, right? Everyone knows. We're going to preach the Word of God in this church. So if you would, fill this out for me. You don't have to put your name on it. You can put your name on it. But we are interested in what you would like to know about in the month of July. Like I said, you asked for it. So if you would do that, I would appreciate that very much today. And then I just want to say, if this is your first time at Only Believe, thank you for coming and spending your Easter with us. I'm Pastor Nicole, and I'm going to be obviously doing the message for you today, but multiple Sundays you'll come. If you come, you might hear one of our other pastoral teaching team or my husband, Pastor Randy. He can preach. He's in the children's church today with your lovely children. And he did the sunrise service this morning. But we're just glad that you chose to spend your Easter with us. Thank you. Thank you. So let's pray before we get started today, and then we're going to go into the message. Okay? Father, we just come before you today. And Lord, we just honor you, Father, with our time. Father, we just thank you for the beautiful gift that you gave. Father, and the beautiful price that he paid for us today. Father, as we reflect and we remember, as we learn from the scripture today, Father, let it resonate in our hearts. Father, let the seed go forth out of my lips today into the heart of men and women. Father, and bring forth spiritual change. Father, I pray for the heart of every backslidden Christian here. Maybe every non-believer that would be in our house today. And Father, I just ask that the sweet Holy Spirit would come with his all-consuming fire and love and begin to just work on the heart of the unbeliever and the backslider today. Father, for you're not out there with an angry fist, but Father, you're there with a burning heart to love them. Father, for you're crazy about us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, before we get started, I want to take time to just stand to our feet, and I want you to begin to thank God. Thank God for what he's done for you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I know some of you are like, this is hard, and Pastor Nicole, there's no music. That's all right. You don't need music to say thank you. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks for your son. We give you praise and glory, God. We thank you for that which you've done on Easter. You didn't have to, but you did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Now you can be seated. Look at that. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. You're going to hear that a lot today. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. In case you missed that, the joy that awaited him, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. You know, he took my place. He removed my sin. He paid my ransom. Literally, he redeemed me, set me free. And now I live a life free from the sinful person that I was. Free from the curse. Free from the power of darkness. Because he died, I now live. Did you get that? Because he died, you and I now live. We don't just live this life free of sin, free of shame, free of guilt, but we live and get to live an eternity with him for something we didn't deserve. Amen? Our story today starts in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve walked with peace with God, in peace with God. But all of a sudden, something went wrong. A slippery, slithering, cunning snake came into their lives. And he began to whisper into the ear of Eve. You know, we don't know how long the snake was there. We don't know if he started priming her as she would come in. You know, maybe he slithered along her path and said, "Hey, Eve." We don't know, but I got to be honest with you. If it looks anything like sin and temptation today, it's not like you wake up one day and go, "Oh, I'm going to sin." That's not the way it works. It's slow. It's cunning. It's quiet. It slithers by. But before you knew it, she started questioning what God had said to her. The devil began to ask her, "Are you sure you really heard what God said? Did he really mean it like that, Eve?" And he began to get her to question the word of God, question what her father had said to her. How many times do you read the Bible and then the devil says, "Oh, he don't really mean that"? See, it says Jesus went about doing good and healing all. But because maybe you didn't get your healing when you wanted it, the way you wanted it, and how you wanted it, you don't believe that he heals all. So the devil says to you, "No, he only heals some." Some. Like a little slithering snake. Right? And he begins to make you think those little tiny slithering slimy thoughts. And we fall into it. And before we know it, we look at someone and we go, "Well, you know, healing's what happened when Jesus walked the earth. And since we're not Jesus, that's not really the way it happens. When he said, 'Greater works will you and I do.'" Amen. "Greater works will you and I do." So the slithering snake is a liar. But here's what happened. The second Eve took of the sin or disobedience because she disobeyed God, she immediately, her and Adam, became naked. Just picture a cartoon. You've all seen it. Where all of a sudden, I don't know what cartoon it is, but I remember as a kid where they're going, because their clothes are just ripped right off of them. Because all of a sudden, sin consciousness came to man. See, they knew nothing wrong before. It was peaceful. They were walking in harmony with God. But the second sin came, they felt conscious of what they had done. You and I are a lot like this. The second sin comes to our life, immediately we are aware of what has been done. Immediately we begin to hide ourselves from God. That's what they did. They ran and hid. They made clothes for themselves. But here comes God. The next day he's ready to walk with Adam and Eve. He's like, "Where are they? Adam, where are you? Like, are we playing hide and go seek today? Like, where are you?" Know this, it doesn't matter what you've done, what sin you've committed. God is looking for you. He will find you. He will climb the highest mountain to get where you are. He will find you and call you out, not to call your sin, to call you home. Amen. You're not meant to be alone in this life. You're meant to walk with God. That's how you and I were created. Why do you think people search and search and search for this empty feeling inside of them? They try to fill it with work. They try to fill it with sports. They try to fill it with money. They try to fill it with drugs, alcohol, and sex. But it's never enough because you're not filling it with the right thing. What you're longing for is the oneness that only God can bring to your life. And you're not meant to be separated. Once man did what he did, we couldn't undo it. We had done messed up. It was so bad. Adam and Eve knew they had messed up. I mean, in all, God throws them out of the garden. I don't think he threw them out. Maybe he tossed them out. I don't know. He said he put them out. And then he put up angels and flaming swords by the garden. Do you want to know why? Because he knew if they walked back in that garden and ate of the tree of life, that they would have eternal life. And they would die because they would be in sin. And nothing that is sinful can get back in. Something had to be done. So God moves into action. By the way, this wasn't an afterthought. God thinking of man making a mistake was not an afterthought, or the tree of good and evil, the choice, would never have been there for you and I. Never. It said that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. The only way he could be slain is if he knew that man was going to choose wrong. Let me tell you, our nature, 9 times out of 10, we're going to choose wrong because our heart leads us astray. Something beautiful takes place. God chooses to do this reckless, crazy thing. I know. I'm going to reconcile man to myself again. Now, I've worked in accounting for a really long time. If anyone knows me, this is what reconcile looks like in an accounting world. This is Jesus's account. And we're just going to number it 101000. Okay, that's his number. This is man's account. We're going to name it 101000. Same account number, but two different journals. And these have to equal each other. But here's what happened. Man, the first one, he disobeyed. Oh, I can't use that. That's not going to work. Hang on. I know. I got another one. Hang on here. Let me take this off because I got to fix it because I made a mistake already. Imagine that. Man makes a mistake. You know, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Look at this. Here's what he does. Man disobeys. He lies. He cheats. Oh, wait. What happened with Cain and Abel? They murdered. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and put that one on there. Murdered. Let's see. We get angry. Let's see. We have adultery. Ooh, it's a big one. Are there any bigger than the others? Sin is sin, isn't it? Oh, just want to make sure we all knew that. That we don't get to treat an adulterer different than we treat a murderer. Is that correct? Though our law in this earth does, God says that this result of sin, it's all death. Doesn't matter if you tell a little white lie. It's death. Death to you. Unless you're reconciled. And we're going to talk about that. Okay? So reconciliation, anger, let's put it on here. Pride. Lust, bitterness. Woo, look at all those. Now, by mind's eye, do these two accounts look the same? Not at all, do they? No, because man's account messed up. But the reconciliation of this means, in accounting world, it means they have to balance. They have to equal one another. But in Bible's terms, it means that we need to go back to the prior state of what was. So when man walked with God in the garden in peace, that's where God wanted it to get back to. But somehow we had to do it. What was it going to look like? How were we going to get this done after man had done such a wrong? This is how. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. The 12th verse, and this is what it says. It says, if you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen today. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Wait a minute. So Adam's sin affected me. Yeah. And all of humanity for the rest of our life. By the way, when you get to heaven, you can tell Adam thanks. He's on my list. I'm just saying. So's Eve too. For every time sinned. Now go down to verse 19 because here's the answer to it. It says, because one person disobeyed God. By the way, we see that disobedience is sin. That's why it's on the board. Lots of people think that disobedience to God, when he tells you to do something and you don't do it, we kind of dismiss that as, oh, that's not disobedience. That's just, you know, I'm working through things. Just do what he tells you to do and do it quickly. The quicker you obey, the better. The son disobeyed God. Many became sinners. But, forget what I just said, because one other person obeyed God. This other person was a man named Jesus. Many will be made righteous. Now, many will be made righteous. This is the point. All of us had to have a way to be reconciled to our God. And he knew it, and he began to provide the way that that would occur. This is what it said. It said, you ready for this? John 3:16, the most overquoted scripture in the entire world. But listen to it in fullness. For God so loved the world, not just the good people, not just the bad people, not just the people that think the way you think, not just Republicans, not just Democrats. We're getting ready to come into election season. Couldn't stop doing that one. Not just the people that wear dresses on Easter Sunday, and then there's the people that wear jeans. That he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him, everyone that you might not think deserves it, everyone that you think is too far gone, even the race or the financial background that you don't think needs to be in your church. That's who he died for. Who believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have everlasting life. Now this is the part that we don't like to listen to. God sent not his son to the world to judge it, but to save the world through him. Through who? Through Jesus. Amen. He came to the world not to judge us. How many of you have been hearing like, oh, God's coming to judge America. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm taken back to the Old Testament where Lot was taken out before judgment came because Lot was righteous. And I'm going to tell you right now that Lima, Ohio on Westfield Drive ain't getting judged until this girl falls into some sin. And I'm not in sin, so there's no judgment coming to my cul-de-sac. Right? There's judgment coming for Ohio choosing abortion. Lima didn't choose abortion. We won. We won. We voted right. We did what was right. We chose life over death. Amen. Looks like he's not coming there. We're in the church age. We're in an age of mercy and grace where God is calling and drawing men to him. He's not coming to judge. Oh, he's coming to judge when he comes on a horse. Pastor Randy said on Good Friday, or on last week's service on Palm Sunday, he said that Jesus rode in on a donkey. Guess what that meant? Peace. Peace. But when he comes back, he's coming on a horse. Guess what that means? War. If you don't know who you're serving by then, you best get on your knees right then and say, oh God, please forgive me. For he has come back to judge the earth. And judgment is coming. But that's not why Jesus was sent into this world. And that's not what he's looking for right now. Is there earthquakes? Is there catastrophes? Yes. Are those God sitting up in heaven and just going, whoa. No. Jesus said, I came, and if you see me, you see the Father. Did you ever see Jesus command an earthquake on people to kill them? Did you ever see him harm a person? Then how can that be God? How can that be him? Wrath is coming in a day when it's time for judgment. Please do not tell people God's coming to fire them up right now. He's not. He's come to save the lost. In fact, Jesus said that I come to seek. I'm looking for who's broke. I'm looking for who doesn't know where they're going. I'm looking for those who are blind in spirit, blind in their heart, who have been abused, hurt, rejected. They feel like they've failed. This is who I've come for. I didn't come for those who were not sick. I came for those who were. You and I were once sick in our minds. We were sick in our spirits. We had become this. And God needed us to look like this. But the only way this can happen is by the shedding of blood. The Bible tells us that the only way sins can be forgiven is by the shedding of blood. Jesus knew this. In fact, in John 14:6, in red letters, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. What is this? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. See, what happens right here is this is you and I. This is you and I. And this is permanent. These sins are permanent. And, oh, this is not good. Me and my Walmart is not working real well. Oh, this is a bad advertisement for Walmart, too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wreck your world, Walmart. Thanks, honey. That's perfect. We didn't even need that. Okay. You're such a good boy. Look at you. Save the day. Okay. So this is what happens. If this account is going to look like this, sin had come into the world. Watch. Sin. We're just going to sum it up with one word. Everything you could ever imagine. Anything. Everything you've ever done in your life. But the problem is that this is permanent. Look, none of this wipes off. It's all permanent. No matter how much you try to work it out, you can't change the sin that you've done. No matter how much Adam and Eve put clothes on, no matter how many times they stood at the opening of the garden and wanted to be back in there to walk with God, they couldn't because it had already been done. The deed had been done. How many of you have tasted sin so bad that you wish you could undo it? Gosh, I've been there. I've been there. I've looked and I thought, why did you do that, you idiot? Right? Because we've all been there. We've all fallen short. But here's what happens. God comes in with the blood. Remember, forgiveness of sin can only be done. Here, come out here in the light. You've got to come in the light, son. There you go. I know you don't like the limelight. Watch. Here's what happens. Now, I want to tell you an interesting fact. In the old covenant, sin was covered by the blood of a lamb. That's it. A spotless lamb. It was the only thing that could erase or cover sin. But God tells us in the new covenant that he's made a better way. What is that better way? Jesus. Watch what happens. What was permanent, now covered by the blood of Jesus. And I'm only going to finish the I for lack of time. Randy told me I should practice this, but I didn't choose to. Just want you to know. I had a better idea. I wanted gallons of paint up here, and he thought it would mess my Easter outfit up, so we didn't choose it. This was the old covenant. So you still were seen in sin, but the blood of this animal covered it. But in the new covenant, God has a better way. He says, I'm going to send the forever sacrifice. And I'm not just coming to cover what man's done, but what was permanent, I'm going to erase. That's what Jesus did for us. That account is no more remembered. He didn't just cover with his life. He erased it. is equal. I look exactly like Jesus. And when the Lord sees me, he says, come on in, daughter. He doesn't look at my past. He doesn't look at what I tried to erase. He doesn't look at how long I hid. He doesn't look how far I ran. He simply says, come home. And just let the blood wash you clean. And let us reconcile so that we can walk together in peace. Man was reconciled back to a prior state. Now you and I are equal. We equal. Dave knows what I'm talking about. We're both accountant minds. He's more of an accountant than I am. I'm a bookkeeper. He's an accountant, but it's reconciled. And now they look alike. Can someone say, thank God for the man on the middle cross? Because without his blood, you and I would not be reconciled. The cross and its representation reconciles all of humanity. All of humanity. And it says, now, let's go to Colossians. I don't want to get ahead of myself. This is a good scripture. Colossians 1:19. This is where we're going next. Listen to what it says. It says, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God and you that were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. What? What? If man could only understand when we look at each other, I see no fault. But see, man's not like God. Man doesn't often forget. Man often holds grudges. Man often makes people pay. But Christ removed the thought of you having to pay anything. In fact, he took your account to zero. What you deserved, you do not get. What you earned, you do not have to pay. Wow. All because of the cross. He didn't just stop with reconciling us to the cross. In fact, it says in Colossians 2, 12 through 15, that literally, not only did he reconcile us, but he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly. Do you realize that every devil in hell knew, they thought they were doing what was right by killing him, because they thought if they killed Jesus that there'd be no way back to God. But little did they know that he would be the only sacrifice that was required for all of mankind, and that all of us would be shouting the victory. And literally now we have the power to rule over not just death but sin. You and I have the power within us because Christ is in us that we no longer have to live a life of sinful nature. And some of you are out there going, oh, I don't know about that. You don't know what my holy week looked like last week because it was unholy. Listen, I've been there. I get it. I remember as a kid waking up and I'd get up and I put my feet on the bed and I'd say, today I'm not going to sin. You're not going to sin. You're not going to sin. You're not going to sin. And as soon as I would get to school, here would come this little tattletale, little gossip. Man, she was sent by the devil. Did you hear what happened? And we had this group of four, but really I was kind of the oddball out. Like I was the wannabe, but there was like three really popular girls and they kind of just took me in because I think I was like the ugly duckling and they felt sorry for me. So there was always somebody out and the out person always tended to be me. But it would either be two and two or three against one. And it was always me. But this little girl, she'd come and tell me every weekend. She was always in the newest stuff. You wouldn't believe what happened. And she'd be, yeah, 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 yeah. And every time I'd go, really, what? I fell for it. I'm not even, it's 7:37 and school started at 7:35. And I'm just in the hospitality moment and I would fail every day. But I don't wake up anymore putting my feet on the ground saying, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. Because of the power over sin in my life, because the Holy Spirit that lives within me, because he lives, my flesh dies daily. And because he died, I will live in eternity with him, because I'm going to make it. Amen. Thank God for the man on the middle cross, because now there's no more in between us. And I have the ability to stand up against sin. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. I'm going to prove this to you. Some of you are questioning, like, I don't know if she's right. Let's go to the 9th verse. It says, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Sin no longer has its power over you and I because of Jesus. He rendered the power of darkness literally powerless. And now you and I have the ability to not sin. And anyone who tells you, oh, no man can do that. No, you're just going to keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. No, because I've been saved by grace through faith. And I'm looking towards Jesus, who lived a holy life, who was sinless in all of his ways. And he came as a human to show me that you can walk with God on this earth and you do not have to sin. But if you do, I got you. I got you. My blood's enough. My blood's enough. The problem is you and I, immediately when we sin, we go hide. We don't want anyone to know. I get that. Sin is shameful. It's got condemnation attached to it. I get it. We've all felt it. Good thing to God that you do feel it when you sin. Or how would you know to come back? Come on. We're no longer a master to sin or slaves. We master over it. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 and 8 and 9 tells us that you and I were saved by God's grace, which is nothing more than his favor for humanity. When all of that went wrong, he went, no. I love man. I want to walk with man. This is important. Through faith in Jesus, the only way, the truth, and the life. When we believe that salvation is a gift, nothing you can earn, nothing you can buy. It's simply something that God chose to give to you and I. In erasing, a washing away of your sin, a reconciliation to say, I now see you pure and holy. Nothing wrong in your life. We don't get to take any credit for saving ourselves. It's something that only he could do. It's not about the good things that we've done. You can't pay penance for salvation or for repentance. It's because of what he did. He didn't have to do it for you and I, but he did. Thank you.
heard the preacher talking about three wooden crosses upon a hill for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside couldn't save themselves if they tried. All I could think is, man, that sounds like me. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. He didn't have to do it, but for me he went through it. A love like that I'll never understand. Lord knows I don't deserve it, and I know I couldn't earn it. Let mercy rain down on this desperate man. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Yeah, the cross is where he went, but that ain't where he stayed. He brought me back to life when he rose up out of that grave. Someday I'll stand before him and I'll see Jesus face to face. I'll worship and adore him for life forever change. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. I've been the one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I could never be forgiven. I'm standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, 'cause I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Oh, thank God for the man on the middle cross.
Thank God for the man on the middle cross. John 19:13 says that as he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and committed his spirit into the hands of God. Jesus knew what he came to do. He said he had come to do his Father's will, to seek and to save that which was lost, and to become that forever sacrifice for you and I. He endured it because he knew you needed it. We didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Adam don't deserve it. Eve didn't deserve it. We deserved what we deserved. Even the two thieves on the cross next to Jesus, one knew that there was something different between him and Jesus. He knew that he was up there for, because he deserved it. He had done the deed and he was going to pay for it. But he was watching them crucify an innocent man and wondered, why? Why are you doing this? It must be something greater. 12 disciples couldn't see it. They didn't understand. They thought Jesus was coming to overthrow the Roman Empire. But that isn't at all what he was going to do. He was coming to throw away and to overturn man's wrong and make it right, so that you and I could be in his kingdom. Different way of thinking about it. But one of those men saw the humility in Jesus and saw that he didn't belong there. And he said, "You know what? There's something about you. Remember me in your kingdom when you get there. Remember me." And all he did was have to believe. Just believe that there was something more to that man than just a cross. that there was something supernatural about what was happening on the middle cross. The other one, he didn't want delivered from death in a future eternity without Christ. He didn't understand. He didn't believe. He just wanted delivered from the cross at that moment without anything else with Jesus. The way I look at it is there's two ways we can see the cross today. Either you believe that Jesus is the only way to reconciliation with God, and you know that you're not living this right life, and you need the Savior, and you need the blood of Jesus to come and wash your sin away, to make you blameless, to make you equal with Jesus so that you can be seen as holy and righteous, even though you don't deserve it. Or you want to continue living the way you want and spend an eternity without Christ in hell. And I hate to remind you, hell is not a party like everyone says. It's not. And if that's your choice, you best party it up here. Because when you get there, it's going to be bad. And yeah, I know Easter's not a time that you're supposed to preach hell, fire, and brimstone, but I'm going to tell you, it's the day that eternity must be chose. All of us are going to die one day and stand before God where we will be judged. But those of you that the blood of Jesus has ran from the tip of your head to the soles of your feet will be standing completely blameless before God. And you don't have to be judged for your sin because your sin is gone, erased. There's other things you're going to be judged for. You're going to be judged for how you loved people, how you stewarded your family, how you took care of your money. Those are other things. But for those that don't know Jesus, they will be cast into the eternal lake of fire where there is no more chances. No more. No one can pray you out. No one can pay you out. It's not a middle holding ground. That's not true. And I'm sorry that you've been sold that lie. It's a yes or it's a no. That's it. I think of the last scripture that I close with today, and it says in John 1:29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look. That's what behold means. Look, there comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you see Jesus on the cross for you today? Every eye closed and every head bowed this morning. I ask that if the message of reconciliation today, the blood of the Lamb, has beckoned your heart and tried to call you home today, Jesus is simply saying, please quit hiding. I've made a way that you can come back to the Father. Come back if you've gone astray. And if you haven't come out of hiding, he's waiting for you with open arms to forgive you and receive you as you are. You don't have to fix it all. You don't have to fix it before you come to Jesus. You just come, and the Holy Spirit does the fixing. We all need it. If you're here in this house today and you would like Jesus, then just slip your hand up today. Right where you sit, slip your hand up in your seat and say, Pastor Nicole, I want this Jesus that you've shared today. I want to know that my account is clean, that it's erased, that I'm white as snow, so that I can go with Jesus or with God in eternity. Is there anyone in this house today, anyone that would say, I want to know this Savior? Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If everybody would stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to ask one more thing. That you would choose Jesus today, that you would come down and say a simple prayer with me. If you raise your hand in this service, come down because Jesus is waiting on you. Thank you, Tammy. I saw you, see her. Praise the Lord. Come on down, sweetheart. Jesus is here for you today. Amen? Amen. Come back home. Praise the Lord. What courage. What courage it takes someone. You know, Jesus died for you openly, and now you're going to live for him openly. Amen? Repeat this after me. Say, Father, forgive me. For I was a sinner. But now I am found. I believe in your Son that my sins have been washed away, never more remembered. And I will live for you all my days. In Jesus' name. The Lord. Church, if there's anyone here that is sick in your body, we had a miracle service this morning for the sunrise service, but if you are sick in your body, I believe the same God that was here at 7 a.m. is the same God that's here at 11:37 a.m. And I want to pray for you, and I want to speak over your body, and I want you to know that Jesus cares that you are whole emotionally, physically, and spiritually. He doesn't want you sick in your body. We believe that God moved around doing miracles, signs, and wonders to show what you and I could do. We believe in using the name of Jesus and speaking to these things, and we believe that your body will be healed. If you are sick, I want to open up the altars. I know it's Easter. I know you got dinner on at home, all of that good stuff. And you are all free to leave as soon as I pray you out. But I want to be sure that we give ample time for the resurrected Jesus. Come on, did someone hear me? The resurrected Jesus to do what Jesus does. Remember, the last commandment that he gave was ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Just ask. So we're going to ask this morning, and he's going to come in and heal. I had before the service, I believe that God said there's someone here that has been fighting extreme condemnation and guilt. And I'm not talking you just had an episode. I'm talking that this has been plagued through your Christian life, that you keep falling into this spiritual of condemnation and guilt, and you can't rid yourself of it. I believe that God's here to heal that in your life today. Is there someone here that says, that was me, and I can't shake it, and I need to get rid of it in order to go on? Now, please, the Spirit of the Lord is here to heal now. I don't need you coming up 15 minutes from now. The anointing is here to remove that spirit of condemnation. And okay, come on down. There it is. Frederick, that is yours. You claimed it. That's yours. Yes, come on down. If that's you, right here. We're going to all see him right here because there's going to be more of you. That's good. That's right. Come on down. No one's judging. They're not taking account. Don't you worry. Your account's zero. Zero. I just showed you what happened. I showed you that black marker had to go because the blood of Jesus, that's what's present. That's what's here. God's going to change your lives. I'm telling you. That mental fight that you've been fighting is going to be gone today. And you're going to know that it was gone today. Today, it's going to be gone. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. All right. Some of you are starting to get your faith arise now. You believe it's really going to happen, don't you? Praise the Lord. I'd like that. If you need healing in your body, then I'm going to put you on the right side. Your left side, my right side. But I'm going to pray for these people right now. Father, I'm going to dismiss you. I know you got turkeys. I know you got hams. I want you to go and enjoy your Easter weekend. But know this, God's going to be working while you're on your way home. Amen. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just pray a prayer of blessing over these homes going forth Easter to celebrate. God, I thank you that peace would be in their homes today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that they would love one another, cherish one another. And Father, that all the women that think they can't cook good, God, make them a good cook this year. Let them not burn it. Let it be good. Let it not be dry. And just show them that you love them a little bit, Lord. And those that can, well, bless them too. I'm a little envious. Anyways, we love you, church, and we will see you next Sunday or Wednesday if you're in small groups. We'll see you then. Happy Easter. We love you all, and God's come to do mighty things. Amen.